as we talk about signs of your coming. Signs, tangible ways that we can see with our eyes, we can taste, we can touch, we can feel, we can watch, we can observe. It makes sense to our brains, our soul gets involved. Signs, Lord, because that's what the disciples were asking for. Lord, what's going to be the signs of your coming? How are we going to know that you're going to be approaching? Well, Father, I pray that as we continue to speak of these signs that are now available for us to look at, that it will do one of two things. It'll do both. It will increase our most holy faith, and it will help us prepare. It will help us prepare our lives and the lives of others for the return of Jesus Christ. Amen. We left off last week talking about how the land of Israel was indicative, the things that were happening in Israel, because Israel is the focus of attention in the end times. I already covered that in 15 lectures, right? We know that Israel, the land of Israel, is significant. We did not replace Israel. Israel is in God's heart. It always has been. We are in an intermission period where Gentiles have an opportunity to be grafted in, but the natural branches in the end will be grafted in. The end time events will actually happen in Israel on the Mount of Olives when Jesus, it says, he will touch the Mount of Olives. And we said last week that there was a what? Earthquake fault line that runs from the middle of Jerusalem right up through the Mount of Olives, so that when Jesus touches it, it will split the earth. And we will see that highway going straight into Jerusalem. And the little boards that they have that are up there to keep Jesus out, split. And the graveyard that was in front, open. I mean, we had to get real and tell ourselves that Israel will be the focus of attention in the end times. So we're going to continue with that, because really, signs of his coming are going to be related and interwoven with the land of Israel. So let's talk some more about this land, revealing Christ's second coming in his nearness. Let's start off with Isaiah 27:6. Let's build up your most holy faith today. In the days to come, Jacob will take root. Israel will blossom and sprout. Well, how many of you know before 1948, there was no blossoming and there was no sprouting? It was barren, dead, dry desert that the Palestinians wanted nothing to do with. The only reason they want something to do with it now is because it's prospering. Because the Jews, when they came back, made it prosper. And they will fill the whole world with fruit. My goodness gracious. Israel is going to fill the whole world with fruit someday. Remember when this was written? Isaiah, anybody know kind of the, you know, all right, let's say 2,000, maybe 3,000 years ago? Isaiah prophesied that Israel would be back in their land, which we'll read in other places, and that they would blossom. The whole world would take advantage of the fact that that country would blossom and sprout and be blossoming with fruit. So here we go. Fruit here means produce. It says Israel will blossom and fill the whole world with produce as we approach the return of the Lord. Let's continue reading Isaiah 35, 1 and 2. Take it a little bit further. The wilderness and the desert will be glad. I'm sure they were, because they were barren for a long time, right? Said even the rocks would cry out. The land's crying out for the Lord's return. Everything's on the demise. You know, everybody know that? Even the earth groans and waits for the Lord's return because it's been declining ever since Adam's sin. Well, if you haven't read it, you will someday. The wilderness and the desert will be glad, and the Arabah will rejoice, and it will blossom. That barren, dry land will blossom like the crocus. It will blossom, what's the word used?
Profusely.
And rejoice. That means it's going to be like, if you got like a fruit that's only about this big, it'll be a fruit about this big, okay? It will rejoice with rejoicing and shouts of joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it. The majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord. In other words, in this prosperity, the majesty of our God. When we see the land going from barrenness to fruitfulness and fruit the size like this and stuff like that, we're going to be able to witness to could only be God. That could be the statement. The majesty of God could only be God. In your situation, her healing could only be God. Nobody interfered. Nobody gave her a magic pill. There is a huge packing company. This is where it gets real cool. In Israel today, sending fruit all over the world during much of the winters in other areas. It is called the Carmel, and you can look it up, the Carmel Packing Company. How about that? Israel also exports many flowers as well as fruit. It's amazing that Israel has gone from a barren land to a fruitful land just because Israel is now back home and awaiting Messiah's return. They are sending fruit out when no one else is able to grow fruit. All over the world. Wait a minute. I think I've heard that before. No, you haven't. But Isaiah did, like 3,000 years ago, if you're willing to read his book. Incredible. Isaiah 35:7. I think you should get to know Isaiah if you want to know about God coming back, because he writes a lot about it. The scorched land, and it was, will become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. Remember last week? They found underground springs of water everywhere in Israel, just waiting to burst through, and some already have, which is what's made the land fruitful. In the haunt of jackals, its resting place, grass becomes reeds and rushes. Oh my gosh, the Dead Sea. We're going to see life in the Dead Sea. Remember I said last week it's split in two? 100% of the southern part of it is all salt, but now the northern part of the Dead Sea is only 30% salt. And now there's reeds and rushes, and now there's life and shrimp that are beginning to grow. And the Dead Sea is being what? Refreshed, which we already read about in the prophecies last week would happen when Israel returned. Hallelujah. The scorched land will become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water, and the haunt of jackals. The reeds and rushes you will see. Isaiah 41:18. This is modern day stuff, guys. We're seeing it with our eyes, what Isaiah wrote about. I don't know if you know that privilege, but that's awesome to share. Amen. Even if you go out and you witness, tell the person in there, did you know there's reeds and rushes in Israel now? Do you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior? No, it's probably not going to go that way, but... you know, this stuff to me builds up my faith. I will open up rivers on the bare heights and springs in the midst of valleys. And that's, we've been there. We've been to Israel. They're there. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land fountains of water. And they're there. 2,500 years ago, I was a little off. I said 3,000. 2,500 years ago, the prophets couldn't have been known about these they wouldn't have known about this underground water, right? They didn't have the technology in the desert. If it was a desert back then, they figured it was a desert. Right. We have technology to understand that there's underground water. But in the 1980s, the little fountains of water began bursting out of the earth in Israel. In this desert, because of the water pressure underneath. Go God. I should get an amen or a golf clap. Or something. I'm going to train you guys after a while. We're going to change our identity in here. We're going to shout the roof off of this place. What's going on in that church there? We got windows now because you guys shouted the roof off, right? No windows because of traffic. Okay. Because water pressure underneath. So how can anyone not see God in all of this is what I wrote. I mean, I'm trying to make it very simple. How can you not see God when 2,500 years ago, these guys who saw nothing but a barren desert said that one day in the future, there are going to be springs of water that come up in the land of Israel when it's close to Christ's return. Amen. Whoa. Isaiah 65:10. Let's keep going. Go, Isaiah. Right. We'll switch here to Hosea just to give you a different flair. Sharon. And who's the rose of Sharon, the sweet rose of Sharon? Mm-hmm. Will be a pasture for the flocks. Isn't that a great metaphor? The rose of Sharon, Jesus, our pastor of our flock. Wow. Yeah, right. That's a whole nother sermon. And the valley of Achor, a resting place for herds. You know, the Palestinians would not claim this land as theirs. They would just pass through because it was so dry and barren. Now they're wanting to claim every inch of it. For my people who seek me. Let's go to Hosea. Let's switch men. Hosea 2:15. Then I will give her vineyards from there, and the valley of Achor as a door of hope. And she will sing there as in the days of her youth, as in the day when she came up from the land of Egypt. This valley of Achor is between Qumran. Remember where they found the Dead Sea Scrolls? Qumran down by the Dead Sea, and Jericho. So there's a valley kind of by the Dead Sea where Qumran is and between Jericho. For centuries, vineyards could no way. There was no water. There's no fresh water. They could never be there. But guess what? Go to Israel today. There are vineyards because of the water that is now available. There are, folks, these are signs. Jesus said there would be signs. Isaiah prophesied them. Hosea prophesied them. Ezekiel prophesied them. John, the apostle, they prophesied them through Jesus' own words. The Dead Sea, the Arabah, and the Valley of Achor all point to the soon return of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. 30 years ago, none of this was happening. 30, 40 years ago, none of it. Folks, the prophet's words are coming to pass. So let's go to some more of these signs, these prophecies, such as the return of the latter rains. How many have ever heard of the return of the latter rains? Israel's land, prior to the Jews coming back in 1948, right, deeded over in the Balfour Declaration in 1917. It was actually said that they could come, but in 48 they became that state, right? And then in 67, after the Six-Day War, they took back Jerusalem and the West Bank. Folks, this land was predominantly a desert and a swamp where nothing would grow. But if we go back to Isaiah and Hosea and Joel and all of the prophets, they prophesied that when the Jews returned to the land that it would prosper. But the word of God says that, oh no, they'll do more than just live there. They will multiply and they will prosper and they'll be the greatest nation on earth. They have more technology and wherewithal than any other country on this planet. If you go over there and look at their technology centers, it'd blow your mind that the United States doesn't have some of the stuff they have. They could wipe the Palestinians and those Arab states out in one move, and they don't. They're actually letting them live there. I know. And they don't have to. I know. So desert and swamp, nothing would grow. Let's go to James, New Testament, 5:7. Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits. Remember, we're talking about the latter rains. We're leading up to the latter rains. The farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it. Until it gets the early, right? For you that are farmers out there, you have to have the early rains and the late rains. Anybody that's watched that movie, Faith Like Potatoes? Let me tell you that God can even cut into this principle. Even without rain, God can bring up potatoes this big just because he can.
That's right.
Because the faith of one of his own. Watch Faith Like Potatoes and you'll know what I'm talking about. Joel 2:23. So rejoice, O sons of Zion, and be glad in the Lord for your God. For he has given you the early rain for your vindication. And he has poured down for you the rain, the early and latter rain as before. And finally, Deuteronomy 11:13-15. I want you to understand the latter rain is a blessing. It shall come about if you listen obediently. So now we're being obedient to God, right? To my commandments, which I'm commanding you today. So that's like us being obedient today, right? To love the Lord your God. Imagine that. It says that in the New Testament too. And to serve him with all your heart and all your soul. Old and New Testament, right? Next verse. That he will give the rain. So if we're obedient, rain is a symbol of blessing because it's going to allow the fruit and the produce and the flowers to grow and multiply, right? That he will give the rain for your land in its season, the early and the late rain, that you may gather in your grain and your new wine and your oil. And you can look at this spiritually and think about the Holy Spirit raining down upon us and getting new wine inside of you so that you can be prosperous and fruitful. We can make a whole sermon just out of that if I want to spiritualize this, but I'm not because it's not spiritualized here. But God's word's alive, so you can. And I don't have to be, wrong about that, right? He will give you grass in your fields for your cattle, and you will eat, and you will be satisfied. We can see that rain is a sign of the favor of God. From 1980 to 1985, farms began to spring up in Israel. And in 1993, there was more rain on record than any other time in history. Amen. Hallelujah. From 1980 to 1985, more rain was recorded in Israel than any other time. Streams opened up. Springs of water began to come up. The rains have come. They've indeed come. With Jewish technology and blessing, the land is most definitely beginning to prosper. The expansion of Jerusalem is another sign of the future coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I said the expansion of Jerusalem. Psalm 102, 12 to 15. But you, O Lord, abide forever in your name to all generations. You will arise and have compassion on Zion, for it is time to be gracious to her, Zion, Jerusalem. The appointed time has come. Surely your servants find pleasure in her stones, even picking up a stone in Jerusalem, and feel pity for her dust. So the nations will fear the name of the Lord, and the kings of the earth your glory. Acts 1, 6 to 7. So when they had come together, they were asking him, and this is the disciples to Jesus Christ, right? Lord, is it at this time that you are restoring the kingdom of Israel to Israel? He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or epochs which the Father has fixed by what? His own authority. Jesus told his disciples that Israel wouldn't be restored in their day, but that it would be a future day that who determines? The Father. In 67 AD, the people were fleeing Jerusalem as they heeded the prophetic warnings that Jerusalem would be destroyed. 1900 years later, Jerusalem was divided right down the middle with barbed wire and concrete barriers. Jordan on one side, Jews on the other. But in June of 1967, remember the Six-Day War? Was it a seven-day war? I forget. Six-day. In the Six-Day War, the barriers came down and Jerusalem became reunited. And it began to expand. And if you go to the old city of Jerusalem, if you walk outside those old city gates, we walk there, there's an entire new city of Jerusalem that surrounds the old city and has expanded greatly and just recently has become the capital of Israel, recognized by the United States of America, and whom other countries will soon follow to recognize. So hello, people. As I said right here, President Trump of the United States of America is the first leader outside of Israel that has recognized Jerusalem as Israel's rightful capital. And you can bet the rest of the nations will eventually do so as well. God said he would favor and build up Zion, Jerusalem. Just another word for it. According to Scripture. About 35 years ago in Jerusalem, there wasn't much there. But Jerusalem has now blossomed in seven different directions. It's expanded with apartments and with buildings and with hotels, right? We stood on top of them as we walked across the city. Now, many travel to Jerusalem and get on a plane now, and many go just to put their feet on the land. That's what I did it for. I mean, I have to admit, it wasn't to get all this gathering of I didn't know what I was going for. I just know I wanted to walk where Jesus walked. And people get on planes today just to put their feet where Jesus walked. To his home city, to where he was and he ministered and will be the site of the new Jerusalem. People go just for that reason. I'm going to Israel. Why else would they go for this middle small nation in the middle of nowhere, right? That most of the people are persecuting in the world.
That's right.
And yet planes and planes and planes of people go, and it's usually Christians, just to put their feet on the land. Psalm 102, 13 and 14. You read this before, here it is again. You will arise and have compassion on Zion, which he has, for it is time to be gracious to her, for the appointed time has come. And I want you to hear this again. Surely your servants find pleasure in her stones and feel pity for her dust. I read that before, and I read it again right there as I'm closing to say this. Jerusalem is probably the only place in the world where tourists will pick up stones and try to carry rocks back home. We did. and you in the front row looking down at your Bible got a couple of those stones from Israel because you said, bring me back a stone. And Teresa brought her back a stone. I don't know about the rest of you, but do you go to other countries and look for stones to pick up and take back in your suitcase? Yes. Okay, well, they also collect dust and water. People are collecting dust and stones and water because they know that they know that they know that this is the Holy Land. It's a land that has been set apart by God exclusively for his purposes. Do you know what that holy, what can be holy? Knives and forks and utensils can be holy. Why? Because holy means exclusively set aside for the exclusive use of God. That's why you're holy, Susie, because you've been set exclusively aside for the express purposes of God working through her. She might have other plans in her life to do, but God's only concerned with the plans he has for her. Same with you. As that gift begins to rise up, the same with you, as your gift begins to rise up and you take your place. Exclusively, we each have a purpose and a plan. Even you, Ed. Exclusively. Notice I didn't say Maria because she's just wonderful. And, you know, you're just, I can pick on you. I don't want to pick on her because then she may get mad at me. But you're holy. Each one of us are holy. Because we've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The land of Israel is holy because God has set it aside in end time events to be the return of his son and to set up the new Jerusalem. Well, obviously the old Jerusalem where it was has to be the new one. He's not going to plant it somewhere halfway across the world in Indochina or something where they don't even believe. Or maybe they do in underground times, right? But dust and rocks and water are collected in a little small country far, far away. Because it's been set apart by God and because they know that the calling of God is on it. Jerusalem is indeed being built up. Folks, all this is happening right now in Jerusalem. Maybe soon we will all be dancing on her streets just like David did. Amen? Amen.